if you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes because you remember more what you write down. You can choose any sermon title you want. I've got four for you. Number one, I want to remind you. Number two, Jesus, the only fire insurance you need. Number three, pay attention to your character. Judgment is coming. And number four, prepare for the Lord's coming. I'm going to stick with the first one because the truth is, I want to remind you of some things. How many need to be reminded sometimes of things? I remember when I was in Little League. How many know when you were in Little League, sometimes baseball wasn't that important? Come on, remember when you were in Little League? And, you know, you're just out there and you know what? Your mind wanders and you're thinking of something and, you know, you're just little. You're 8 or 7 or even 6, and you're just like you're not into baseball that much. You know what I mean? How many know the coach was into baseball? Come on, is somebody there? How many know the coach was into it? You know what I mean? He wanted to mold these 7-year-olds into a championship machine. But we were just like, you know what I mean? I'm there for the snow cone after. That's why I'm, you know. So, you know what? But so I remember the coach over and over again, you know what, reminded me, be ready. You got to be ready. You know what, get ready. Get positioned. Get ready to receive the ball, you know, because the ball could be hit to you. And that's the thing. You know, we waited and waited and waited. And, you know, I was like, the ball's never hit to me. But then when it's hit to you, you're not ready for it. Does that make sense? And then when I got a little older, I remember in baseball, the coach always saying, think before the ball is hit. Kind of same kind of mentality, but at a higher level to say, here, think about if that ball's hit to you, if there's a man on first, what are you doing? You don't want to go to first base. You know, you want to go to second base and then come back to first base. But if you weren't thinking before, he always taught us, you know what, think before the ball's hit. And after, somebody say, repetition is the motor of learning. Well, after being said that over and over and over again, eventually, you know what, before the ball was hit, I think, okay, there's a guy on second, you know what I mean? So if it's hit to me, here's what I'm first going to look him off so he doesn't go to third, and then I'm going to go to first. Well, when the ball's hit, boom, you just do it. Why? Because I never used to do that. But because the coach told me that over and over and over again, that's what I did. Is this making sense to somebody? So in Philippians, you don't have to turn there. I have it up here on the screen. Keep your place in 2 Peter. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, finally, my brother-in-law. Anyway, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write you the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. One version says it like this. In conclusion, my friends, be joyful in your union with the Lord. I don't mind repeating what I have written before. And for you, and you, it will be safer if I do so. So Paul's saying, look, I need to say these things to you over and over and over again. Somebody say over and over and over again. And the reason, it's one of the reasons we come to church. How many know, you know what, we say things over and over again. We say, God loves you. You know what? We remind you that God is not against you. He's for you. Why? Because you need to hear that over and over again. Because there's a lot of people testifying not the truth about God. And so you need to come to church where the word is taught and be reminded. Let's talk about where we're at today. How many know we have? How many know? I'm just telling you what. If you were to tell me that the racial tension would be, you know, like it was in the 60s in the South, in Southern California, I would have said, you are nuts. You know what I mean? I mean, people, we don't hate each other because of a skin color. How sophomoric-ish. Yeah, how childish is that? It's ridiculous. But I tell you what, there's some people stirring some things up. Amen? How many know you can stir some things up? Come on, where are my chocolate milk lovers? Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. And you know, and you put the chocolate in the milk, and you know what? What do? You stir it up, and then you drink it. It's like, this is good milk. You know what I mean? And then after a while, what happens, man, that chocolate goes down to the bottom. And what do? You got to stir it up. How many know you can stir some good things up? But how many know you can stir some junk stuff up too? And there's some stirring up that's taking place in our nation, in our society. You know what? In Southern California. And this is important because here's what happens. Without the truth, we start reacting wrongly. See, without reminding you, wait a minute, are you a Christian or are you not a Christian? Paul said, there are things that are happening that should not be named among us. Amen. And that's one of them. This racial garbage where you're going to judge someone based, all the white people are like this, and all the Hispanics are like this, and all the black people are like this, and all the Asians are like this. That is so against what God teaches. And Martin Luther King, in dreaming about what America could be, you know what, someday, you know what, said, I dream for a day where men will be judged not on the color of the skin, but, you know what, on who they are inside, the development of their character. That's how God looks at people, from the inside, not from the outside. You know what? And which one of us haven't, watch this, which one of us weren't made by God? Amen? God got done with you, and he was like, man, I'm good. You know what? You are fine. You are fine. Yeah, but I don't like my ears. God likes your ears. Amen? Well, I miss, you know this. You know why the hairdresser stays in business, right? Right? Because the people who have straight hair want curly hair. People who want curly hair want straight hair. You know, it used to be the people with no hair were, you know, they were dorky, but now they're the cool cats, right? Amen. Come on, where are my bald men in the house? Say amen to this. Come on. Yeah, amen. Amen. Now you're amongst the coolest. Hallelujah. You know what? Praise the Lord. But see, for me to remind you these things, it's so important because even as Christians, we can get caught up in this. So I want us to look at this passage, and I just want to teach you for a little while, line upon line, precept upon precept, because I think Peter has some really, really important things to say that we really need to hear, you know what he's saying, because it's so applicable to us in this time. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Behold, I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by the way of a reminder. Did you see that? He's stirring up. What is he stirring up? He's stirring up your pure minds. Say your pure minds. How many know in all of us, we can think good things? How many of all of us have the ability to think some trash stuff? Paul's saying, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stir up, by way of reminder, some good things. I'm going to remind you who you are in Jesus Christ. Verse 2, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets. These things that I'm going to tell you, they're not new. You've heard these before, but you need to be reminded. How many ever get off track a little bit? Come on, somebody be honest in the house. You know what? And that's why it's so important to come to church, to be reminded. And not in a condemning way. You know, if you got off track, you know what? I don't think you suck. You suck! I don't think that. I don't think that. You know what I think? I think you have challenges like everyone. I think you better get back on track. I do think that. Amen. But I salute you because you're here. You know what? You could have listened to the demonic and stayed in bed and, you know what, had all the excuses in the world why you couldn't come to church. Amen. Amen. But you didn't. I think it's important to build people up, not just tear people down. Amen. I don't know you. That's you don't want that. I mean, that is part of the DNA of this church. You know what? I want to do what God does. He looks at you and he notices that you can do bad and good, but he calls you to do good. You know, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But what does he say? Therefore, choose life that you might live in your descendants. That's how he is. I mean, no, God is a believing God. That even in the midst of us doing wrong over and over again, God believes in us. And Tamara and I believe in you. Amen. We're grateful for you. We see you. Your spiritual development, and if some of you aren't where you need to be, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Amen. 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 Man, learn to just forgive people. Learn to move on. Don't you want people to move on with you? Don't you want people to forgive you? Don't you want people not to rake you over the coals? Well, you know what? As you give, that's how it's given back to you. Amen. Amen. Don't rake people over the coals. I mean, you can tell people the truth, but if they're ready to repent, man, just say, hey, you know, let's move on. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that we don't notice that there's sin. You know, there's other churches that won't even call out sin. You know what I mean? We don't say sin. Don't say repent. Don't say hell. You know what I mean? All these words you can't say. Well, how are you supposed to communicate the gospel if you don't communicate those words? Sin is real. Listen, and sin, it's my point last week, but I'll use it again today. It'll jack you up. Sin will jack you up. And if you're on the sin train, get off it today. Amen. Stop playing around with the sin train. Amen. Thinking you can just get off the sin train. Verse 2, that you might be mindful of the words which are spoken before the holy prophets. The stuff has been said already, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. It's interesting. Listen to me. Don't get upset when a pastor will command you to do something. You're like, you know what? Tell your mama to do that. I ain't doing that. You know, how many know we get all? Well, you know what? It's in the Bible. The apostles understood the authority that they had, and they, how many know it was good when your mom and dad told you some things? You know, didn't ask you, you know what, honey? Do you want a Twinkie today? Or do you want a, you know what, an apple? What do you want? I mean, it's good to be a parent and to direct your children. Well, the apostles recognize they have authority and they need to use their authority, and they're commanding some people to do some things. Amen? Here, let me give you a command. Get off the sin train today. You see that? Get off the sin train today. But they're commanding, you know what, people, because they have authority and they're using that authority. Verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. My first point is this: mockers and scoffers will come. Mockers and scoffers will come. Oh my, mockers and scoffers will come. They're going to come. And what are they doing? Listen to me very carefully. We live in a very elite time where education is admired, where there's this exaltation of education. Listen, you're going to hear some real down to basic truths today. I don't have time to tiptoe through the tulips today. So don't be offended. Amen? Don't get all, I think, you know what I mean? Listen, how many know sometimes you just have to be straight up with people? Yeah. Why? Because we're running out of time. I believe pastors need to be way more straight up with people than they were before, because we're running out of time. We live in a crazy time where education is exalted and where Christianity is seen as less than. They mock. They scoff. Scoffers, from the Greek word to play or to trifle with, to make fun of, to play with, or to make a joke of. It is to belittle or to see as childish only for the simpletons and the foolish ones. See, Christianity isn't to believe that you need Jesus Christ, to believe that you were born of corruptible sin, to believe that you were jacked up and you need someone to save you is seen in our society as ridiculous. Our society says just the opposite, doesn't say that we are initially evil. It says that we're initially good. But pastor, that doesn't make sense. How many ever had a four-year-old? How many ever had a three-year-old? How many know you have to teach your kids to be nice, to play nice? But it's interesting because they will scoff us. They will make fun of us like we are the uneducated, like we don't know what we're talking about. And they surround themselves with themselves. And as they surround themselves with themselves, all they do is make stronger their arguments, and because they're all saying the same things. I don't know if we'll get to this passage, but it's in Romans, and it says that you judge others, and in the same way that you're judging others, you're doing it yourself. And I used to not understand that scripture. I used to think it was like they're like being hypocritical. They're not being hypocritical. They're saying this is okay to do. And because it's okay to do, I'm going to do it. And you do it too. That's what it's saying. They're judging others. But the judgment that they're making is, it's okay if you do it, and I'm going to do it too. And let's all say it's okay. And then when we have pastors or Christians that'll stand up and say, I'm sorry, that's not okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to mock them. We're going to scoff at them. We're going to belittle them. We're going to make fun of them. We're going to act like they are the simpletons. They are the ignorant ones who don't know, but we know. And the Bible says in the end days, this is going to increase, and we see it right now. One pastor said this, the mocking has just begun. We're going to see in this country a turning against Christianity and Christ like we have never seen before. In all circles, media, board of education, politics, every place, movies, music, there is going to be now like a sewer is opening up, and the mockers and scoffers and the people who just want to insult Christians and his salvation. They're coming out and they're going to come after believers. Maybe not first physically like happens in other countries. Now where Christians are being persecuted, but the squeeze is going to be on, and more the mockers and scoffers get in charge. We're going to see some heavy duty days towards believers. You say, Pastor, wait. This is not a happy message. Okay. Listen, this is a really good message. Let me tell you why. It's interesting because do we want to hear the word of God? Or do we not want to hear the word of God? Because Paul says in the last days, the scoffers are going to come, and we see them coming. And what I'd rather do is not put my head in the sand and go, oh, everything's good. You know what I mean? No, things might be different than they were in the 70s for Christians. But so what? How many know God knew when you were going to be born? You know what? You were born for such a time as this. You are needed to stand up to the plate. How many know this country needs us more than ever it needs us? To stand up and say, no, I'm sorry, this is wrong. I don't care what everybody says. Because let me tell you what, there are people, there are mockers and scoffers, and they won't come to the knowledge of the truth. But there's people on the fence, and you know what? They need Christians to stand up and say, this is what is true. You can't act like that. You can't behave like that. That kind of sexual, immorality is not going to do you good. I don't care what they say about. I don't care how many people, you know, at the universities say it's okay. It's not going to work out good for you. How many know God knows better than anyone else? And God needs a people that will speak up in the midst of scoffers. In the midst of bullies. Are you learning something today? Bill Maher said recently, and I have to filter this out because of his language, but Phil Maher just, I think this last week, speaking, what? Bill. Did I say Phil? Oh, Phil's his brother, Bill Maher. Who's Bill Maher? I don't. He's got some show. I don't know. I would call him a comedian. I don't know what he is, but anyway, a lot of people listen to him, and he says this. Speaking of our recent nomination to the Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett. He says this. He demeans her beliefs on sexuality and on a woman's role in the home. He claimed she is a religious nut and even so crazy to believe speaking in tongues. I'm telling you what, listen to me. They think we're absolutely Looney Tunes. And if you start to, oh my goodness. I'm off the reservation now. I'm just lost it. Pastor, why have you not? God lost it. Here's why. Because God said, listen, we looked at it this week. God said, no, no, don't leave here. Don't leave here without being baptized of the Holy Spirit. And God gave us a gift of tongues. Jesus, probably, I think you need to stick with Jesus. Jesus is the one who said it right before he left. These signs will follow the believers. And one of the signs were they will speak with new tongues. Pastor, there's a bunch of Christians that don't even believe that. I can't dictate that Christians, some of them, are going to take out chunks of the New Testament. That's not up to me. I just want to not get rid of any jot or tittle of the New Testament or the whole word. They think we're nuts. It's interesting because, you know what? As I look at his criticism towards her, it's interesting to me because of all his criticisms towards her and his mocking of her centered around her strong biblical beliefs. Since when is it immoral to be biblically moral? Well, I'll tell you how it went. Since we're getting close to the end. And scoffers are going to come. And they're going to mock us. And they're going to make fun of our morality. They are even going to call our morality immorality. How many hear what I'm saying? They're going to try to convince us not to raise our kids the way God tells us to raise our kids. Listen, God is so clear that he wants you to teach your kids in the way that they should go. Amen. There's a way. They don't know. You have to teach your kids. Listen, and my kids, you know, at some point in time, how many know at some point in time your kids become adults? You know what I mean? And at that point, they're adults. Amen? But let me tell you what. Do everything you can to teach your kids the ways of the Lord. Because that is going to serve them the best. So bring them to church. You know what? Try to act like Jesus in the home. Try to act like Jesus in the home. I you know where it's hard to become a Christian, where it's hard to be a Christian? How many know a church, man? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know it's easy to be a Christian here at church? How many know where it's hard to be a Christian? At home. When, you know what? When your spouse is acting like... Or maybe, if I come on this side. No, we've all experienced that. You know what I mean? Here, let me put it in a way that might be easier for you to believe. You know what? When it's hard for Tamara to act like a Christian when I'm not acting like Christ acts. Do you understand that? But we've got to teach our kids the way they should go. And we need to not just tell them, we need to show them. And I know you're not going to do it perfect, but your kids aren't expecting perfection. But they are expecting that you act like you say you believe. Does that make sense? And don't say, well, you can't do it. You can do it. Stop giving place for this, for the devil. You know what I mean? We give him way too much credit. Amen? Are you learning something? Oh, there's no truth. There's no truth. Truth is all relevant. That's what the world teaches. That's the scoffing of the word. Because the word is just the opposite. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I just heard just recently, you know what, one of the he didn't make it to the nomination, but he was very, very well liked. So many people liked him, so many people voted for him. And he's talking to this Christian who is trying to go through his committee to get hired. in this position. He's got to go through this committee. You know what he's upset about? He's upset that he wrote an opt-ed piece that said this, that somebody that wasn't a Christian, you know what, will be condemned. Well, yeah, you shouldn't say that. God says we're condemned already. Amen. Have you read John chapter 3? That's what Jesus says. If they don't accept me, they're condemned already. Why? All he was saying is without Jesus, they're condemned. All he was doing was stating what Jesus said. And this very well-known politician said, you know what, right at the beginning of the situation, he said, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to vote for you. Why? Because, watch this, they will mock and condemn us because we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Well, I'm sorry. You know what? I don't believe that there's different ways to heaven. Yeah, but that's not very, what's the word I'm looking for? That's not very tolerant. Well, that I believe that there was an Adam and there wasn't Eve, that she sinned and we're part of corruptible sin and that we need a Savior. That's what I believe. And if you scoff at me for that, I do not care. God help that I care. You know what? The Bible says, be careful when everybody says good about you. Scoffers are going to come, and they're going to come, and they're going to scoff because we say Jesus is the only way. God help us not to say it in a self-righteous way. God help us not to say it in a self-righteous way. But you've got to understand, they're going to come, and the more that we get close to the coming of the Lord, the more they're going to come. And you need to toughen up your skin a little bit. You know, it's like, oh, I better, you know what, I better, you know, we think that we can say it a certain way and try to say it the best way you can say it. Try not to be condemning of people and self-righteous. But a rose by any other name is still a rose. And we have got to tell people the truth. Because I don't believe that 2 + 2 = 4 for Tony. But you know what? If Isabel wants it to equal 38, it can equal 38 to her. And if Richard wants it to make, you know, 2 + 2 = 6, and we can just come up with all our own stuff. No, truth is truth. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Are you learning something? Yeah. John chapter 15, we have it up here on the screen, verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. This is Jesus. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Stop thinking like that's such a, it's like, Jesus said it. So toughen up. Look at your name and say, can you toughen up a little bit? Number one, recognize mockers and scoffers are going to come. I want you to remember that. Number two, I want you to remember this. They deliberately forget. The forget what? Forget the promise that God is coming. Forget the realization of all the prophets that spoke to them in the Old Testament. They're going to deliberately forget it. Look at verse 5. For this they will willingly forget. They willingly say, I can't accept Jesus Christ. I can't accept that. No, it's not you can't, it's you won't. See, that's what the Bible says. They won't. It's their choice. Somebody turn over with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Starting with verse 16. For I'm not ashamed. Guys, follow me because I'm going to skip around a little bit. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of talking about Jesus Christ because that's what's going to save people. That's what's going to save, meaning get people whole. You know, listen, let me tell you what. Yoga ain't gonna do it, guys. Ooh, no, I did this yoga and, ooh, watch, now I feel better. It's ridiculous. But how do you feel that way? Why are you making fun of that? You know what? Here's why. Because you get in a room with a bunch of people doing that, and I mean, know you can all come up with stuff and all agree that, oh, I do feel better now. No, no, no! It's not the truth. You're being deceived. You know what? Yoga ain't going to save you. Yoga ain't going to make you feel better. Amen? Well, actually, you know what? Stretching is good for you. Amen? Okay. Are you learning something today? But you get around all these people, watch this, and you're like, oh, yeah, I feel better. Oh, now I really feel better. Oh, look, now I can do this. I really feel better. And next thing you know, listen, yoga is what's going to save you. And yoga ain't going to save you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We need to toughen up. We need to not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We need to not be ashamed of being out here and worshiping God. We need to not be ashamed that we are Christians. Amen. We need to not even be ashamed that we believe that there's only one way. Because let me tell you what, there is only one way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power unto salvation for everyone who believes. All you have to do is believe. But if you're not going to believe, listen, if you're going to take the life vest of Jesus Christ that he throws you as you're drowning, if you're going to throw it back at him, over and over and over again, reject the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? Don't blame Jesus where you live for the rest of your life when you die. Because let me tell you, you ain't going to die. Your body's going to die, but you're not going to die. You and I are going to live somewhere forever. That's what the Bible teaches.
Where
am I going to live? I don't know. Where do you want to live? Amen. Because you can live wherever you want to live. Amen?
Amen.
But do me a favor. Don't go home and eat a Twinkie and a Hostess, you know, Ho-Ho and a, you know what, a Susie Q and, you know what, and all this stuff, you know what. And then all of a sudden I come over and you're like, oh, you know what, and you throw that in the trash and get a bunch of broccoli out. It's like, what are you talking about? That's what we think. No, God knows what's up. He knows what's up. He knows what you like to eat. He knows who are in love with him. Yeah, but Jesus, but God loves us. God loves everyone. The question isn't about God's love. The question is your love. Because if you don't want to love God, if you don't want to serve God, if you don't want to be a Christian, if you want to act some certain way, but when it comes down to it, you just ain't, you know what, like what that movie, you know, he ain't all into you. If you're not all into God very much, then God, he just is willing to go, look, let's not pretend, okay? You're just not that into me. Amen? And so I'm going to let you live with who you've been living with. You know what? All the days on your earth.
Wow.
See, God ain't going to judge. God ain't going to tell you where to go. You're going to tell him if you want to live with him or not. How many know this is what? See, it's the mockers that are mocking God, telling us God's sending people to hell. You know, and then oddly enough, they don't even believe in hell.
Yeah.
See how mocking they are? See how ridiculous it is? But we get conned into it. It's like, ooh, you know what? We better not say hell. We better not say anything. The whole time we're not saying anything. Who do you think is going to speak the gospel?
Right.
Who do you think is going to speak the truth if we don't speak it?
That's right. Come on.
We, you know what? What are we just going to do? Just give people what they want? Oh, God, help us. God, help us to be people of courage. Be strong and courageous. That's what the Bible tells us. Be strong and courageous. Verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Sorry. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall... How should we live? We should be trusting in our God. Okay, who cares if all these people don't love me? God still loves me. He's promised never to leave me or forsake me. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. You know, all these people don't love. Okay, it is what it is. But the just shall live by their trust in God. For the wrath of God. Oh, Pastor, you must be reading out of the Old Testament. Well, you know how it is. God was in a bad mood. Right? Where's Pastor George? Pastor George, you know the theology. You know what? I'm making fun. I'm mocking. You know, not Pastor George, but this wrong theology, because I know he knows correct theology. You know, the Old Testament, you know, God had bad days, right? You know, he'd get ticked off sometimes, you know what I mean? But the New Testament, God repented. That's ridiculous, is it not? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God didn't repent. God had nothing to repent of. Amen? You look in the Old Testament, God was the same God he is in the New Testament. He was long-suffering. He waited over and over and over again. He was sending. Who did he send to that wicked place? Come on, somebody. Who? Jonah. He sent Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah was the wicked one. Jonah was like, man, these people, you know, are they, you know, they like, ah. Right? And they like the Raiders. Are you kidding me? Right? No. What's God? This Old Testament. No, God loved them. God says, you get over there and you preach the gospel to the people. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Oh, man, let's park there for a minute. Who suppress the truth in what? They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They judge that their behavior is okay, that you are the wrong one to say that what they're doing is wrong. And so they you know, how many know groups that are bold in their unrighteousness? Somebody raise your hand if this is true. If you know that, raise your hand. Okay. They're bold in their unrighteousness. And what are they doing? They're making a judgment. What I'm doing is okay. What you're doing is okay. It's all okay. They're suppressing it. How many know you can suppress something so bad that eventually it just doesn't even, you know, you can have something that's springy and just keep on forcing it in a certain way, and pretty soon you'll just suppress the spring right out of it. Right? Next thing you know, watch this. You believe that your unrighteousness is righteous. You believe it. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. Yeah, but some people just can't believe. No, that's a lie that you've heard from the mockers. Everybody can believe. Why? Because God's shown it to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are not seen, or what seen? Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Yeah, but God, you didn't. Nope. Mocker. You're a mocker. You mock God because he's told you the truth, and now you're going to blame God, you know what, because you refuse the truth. You're a mocker. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify God. They knew God. You know how many people I know? You know how many people I know that were raised in church that are acting absolutely just far from God? They know God. You know why they mock God? Because to mock God is to, because if they didn't mock God, they would have to recognize God is true, and I have to change my lifestyle. See, people don't want to change their lives. They don't want to humble out. They want to keep on sinning. And God will allow them to sin. But God will send them a witness. And we are that witness. Amen. Somebody got to tell them, you got to tell them. Yeah, but I'm not an extrovert like you, Pastor. You have no idea how introverted I am. I have no idea. But God has not called me to be an introvert. God has given me a ministry of reconciliation. I've been reconciled, therefore I need to reconcile men to God. Yeah, but I'm just a, you ain't just nothing. To whom much is given, much is required. So get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your, you know what you, stop telling God who you are. Start letting him tell you who you are. Amen. Amen. They did not glorify him because verse 21, because although they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, nor were thankful. I don't have time to preach. Ungratefulness is so ungodly, but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. They're starting to make these images out of making birds and worshiping birds and out of these, you know what, stones and all this stuff. We see it today. We see it today. There's a mocking of the things of God. God, when he came to man, every creation, he says, it's good, it's good, it's good. But when he comes to man, he says, it's very good. And we see a mocking of that. We see an exaltation of these ones that were made from day one to day five. But day six, you know what? God says it's very good. You know, and I'm not saying, listen, I believe that we need to be gracious to all God's creation, including animals and plants. I believe in all that. I love the outdoors so much. What did my best friend in high school call me, Tamara? Nature boy. I love the outside. I love to be outside. You know what? But I'm not going to worship, you know what, the animals more than I do the human beings. Amen? And it's taking place. And who's it taking place by? The mockers and the scoffers. The same people that deny Jesus Christ are the same people that are exalting this world above humans. Oh, shine the, you know, it doesn't make any difference. You know, in New York City, do you know this in New York City? You can look it up. When they passed the law, I think, was 6 months. You couldn't abort a child. After 6 months, you couldn't abort a child. Well, they changed the law, just I think last year, and they made it where you could abort a child. You know, many states is this way now. You can abort a child all the way up the same day that you are going to deliver. Up to 1 hour before, up to 30 seconds before in New York, you can abort that child. And when it happened, when it passed, it was gross because you know what you can hear in that room, you hear, or that auditorium, you hear all this clapping like, whoa, did we achieve something? It's so gross. You say, Pastor, but I've had an abortion. Listen, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. If you've had an abortion, ask God for forgiveness. But us not, who's going to speak up for these babies? What little baby inside a mom's womb doesn't want to live? Yeah, but what about choice? What about choice? What about their choice? Here, just ask me a simple question. Just answer me this simple question. You ever see the sixth grader? Can you imagine a sixth grader going up to a first grader, you know what, and taking their lunch and you sitting there? What would you do? I'll tell you what, Jackson. You know what? You think you're so big now, sixth grader? I just do. You know, would you not kind of be intimidated and say, hey, Bucky, what the heck? Yeah. What is that? Yeah. We don't act like that. Yeah. Give it to him back. How many would do that? Yeah. Come on, how many would do that? How many know that's the right thing to do? Yeah. Bigger doesn't mean you have more rights than somebody who is smaller. In 1970, that's what we said as a country. We said, we need to protect that little one. That's what we said. These are statistics from 2016. We can have strong beliefs. Yes, you can believe. You can believe things, but they need to be, now they need to be things that are unbiblical, or you're going to be mocked. It's okay to believe. It's okay to believe that it's wrong, even immoral, to kill a smolt fish. But you better not even question the decision of a Supreme Court which allows a woman to end her pregnancy. You better not even question that anymore. And for what reason needs to be given for this termination of pregnancy? None. No reason at all needs to be given according to our laws. Nope. No reason even needs to be given. Last year in America, one out of every five pregnancies was terminated. One, two, three, four, five. You're all pregnant. That's a shocker, huh? I'll call you Sarah today. Amen? Okay. All right, you got it. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, you're all pregnant. Guess what? In America, our church is not going to be blessed by one of your children. How many know all five of your children are incredibly special? We're not going to know them. We're not going to know their name. We're not going to be able to play with them. We're not going to know their personality. We're not going to know Jack. In America, this is CDC numbers from 2016. You know what? Over 2,000 children lose their lives because America gives them the right to take that away from them. You know what that is? That's over 2,000 per day. That's 90. That's 98 kids per hour we're losing. CDC says 35% of those kids are white kids, 38% of those kids are black kids, 18.8% of those kids are Hispanic, and 8.2% are some other nationality, which means that over 60% of these abortions in America are done on minority babies. It's Pastor, why are you talking about that? Here's why. Because we make choices every day. You know, it's so interesting to me. And I'm going to talk about it, and, you know, it is what it is. I don't really care. Listen to me very carefully, because you need to hear this. I don't really care what the candidate says as far as, oh, they're a Christian, they're not a Christian. You know, I don't care. What I care is how they act, because how they act is what the policy is. We've had presidents in the past who claim to be Christians, and in this one issue, they were absolutely for this continuing homicide that is taking place. It is just pathetic. I don't care what. And then we've had other presidents that, you know what, didn't really even claim to be Christians. Amen? But as far as morality, they acted way more. As far as their policy, they stuck up. Listen, I could tell you a time in America where we had, you know what, a president who said he was a Christian. You know what? We had people in the House who said they were Christian. We had people in the Senate, they were Christian, and they still funded Planned Parenthood for $500 million. Wow, it's getting pretty quiet in the House. Professing to be wise, they became but fools. Let's go back to 2 Peter, my third point. God promises it's all going to burn up. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Go back to verse 7. But the heavens and earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Everything is going to burn. And because everything is going to burn, it's why you reminded me of this. Because we need to be reminded. Because we act like, you know what? Jesus says he's going to come back like a thief in the night. You're not going to know. And so every day you need to get up and recognize today could be the last day of my life. Today I could meet Christ in heaven. Today I could be, you know what? Sit before the judgment of God. God's going to burn it all. And then mockers mock and they say, well, God hasn't yet. God hasn't yet. God hasn't yet. Where's your God? Where's your judgment? Where is he? That's the mocking. But Peter reminds us, let me tell you why he hasn't come back yet. You know why he hasn't come back yet? Because you still have relatives who aren't saved. That's why. Because you still have neighbors that aren't saved. Don't mock God for not coming back. It's the love of God that is keeping him. His will is that none perish. Some foolish teaching that some can't come into the kingdom of God. Everyone can come into the kingdom of God. And God wants to wait, and God wants to wait, and God wants to wait, and he wants to wait. Why? Because he loves every single one of them. But at some point in time, he's going to wait no more. And Christians get involved in this. And you get close to God, and you get close to God, and you get close to God, and then stuff happens, and you start to get away from him, and get away from him, and get away from him. Like he's not coming back. He is coming back. Don't be like those ladies that came to see him, but they didn't have the oil. Amen? Guys, we need the oil. You got to come and you got to have the oil. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to care about righteousness. You can't just be about Christianity out of your mouth. It's not just what you say, it's what you do. It's not even just what you learn, it's what you do. Don't be just a hearer only, deceiving yourself. Get it together, figure it out. Because it's amazing how much God will do with you if you're willing to be used of Him. If you're willing to humble out and say, God, I need your help today. You know what? I want to be an on-fire Christian. If I ask, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but if I ask you right now, if you have sometime in your life been way more on fire for Christ than you are, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. But if I ask that, I believe probably there are many of us, maybe even most of us. I don't know. Certainly many of us would raise our hand and say, Pastor, I remember when I was 16. I remember when I was 28. I remember when I was 42. I remember 10 years ago. I remember 18 years ago. I remember 2 years ago. I was on fire for Christ. God says, now is the day. Now is the place. Now is the time. Because let me tell you about God. You know what? He'll wait for a long time, but He won't wait forever. You say, yeah, but He's going to wait for a long time. You don't know what a long time is. The long time could have already been. You have no idea. The Bible says God is not slow, as some consider slow. One version said God is not tardy. Oh, He's going to come back, and He could come back next week. Wouldn't this be a good day to repent for the things that you have in the closet, for the things that you've decided to keep from God, for the things that you just want to hold on to, for the things that you valued, and God said, no, I'm asking that one thing. Can I tell you about God? Can I tell you about God? God has a way, like He had the rich young ruler. He said, you know what, I've done all these things. But God said, yeah, you did, but this one thing, you've done all this, but this is what you need to do. God is not looking for, you know what, your con job to Him to do mostly good as you're keeping something from Him. He knows exactly what that one thing is. And He knows if you be honest and not keep on suppressing the truth, I mean, you can keep on suppressing it. But if you be honest, He's willing to throw that up in your face right now and say, hey, today is the day you need to give me all of it. Stop conning me and stop conning yourself. I'm hearing what God is saying to us today. My last point, and I'll close with this. So knowing this, how are you acting? You see, what God is doing, He's giving you the heads up today. He's loving you. How many know God didn't come back yesterday? You say, whoa, Pastor, are you talking about salvation now? Are you talking about salvation? It's interesting. Can I park here for just give me a couple minutes more? Because we think that, you know what, we think we're saved. But you know what? The Bible tells you to examine your own life. How many of there are a bunch of people who are calling Jesus Lord, and He's the one, Matthew chapter 6 or 7, and He's going to say, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. God is not so much listening to your words. He's too busy watching what you do. Your words, you know what, are just words. I'm not saying words aren't powerful, but what I'm saying is what God is looking at is our actions. So first, you know what, and maybe somebody's watching me on TV, or through the internet, or maybe somebody's here today and you're not even safe. You don't even know Christ. Today is your day. Stop procrastinating it out. Church doesn't save you. Accepting Jesus in your heart saves you. Say, Pastor, how do I do that? Here's how you do that. I'm going to pray. You're going to repeat that prayer. All we're going to do is ask Jesus in your heart. If you ask Jesus in your heart, the Bible says anyone who knocks, the door will be open to them. I mean, no, you can't literally knock, but you're going to knock by saying, Jesus, come in my heart. Could you pray that with me today? Just repeat this after me. And anybody here can do the same thing. Say, Jesus, come in my heart today. I need you. I want to be a Christian today. Forgive me of all my sins. I want the blood of Jesus to cleanse me, to clean me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, amen, amen. If you accepted Jesus today, I want to welcome you. I want to be your pastor. I want to be your pastor. You know what? Give us a year. But before we end, you know what? Some of you, you're already saved. But there's stuff that you're hiding from God. And God says, you know what? Don't hide it anymore. You say, babe, but pastor, if I raise my hand, somebody's going to think. Don't worry about that. Worry about what God is thinking. Amen? I say, don't worry about that. Worry about God, what God's thinking. I tell you one person who won't condemn you. I can't speak of everybody else. I can tell you one person who won't condemn you. It's me. Because I've been in your shoes. But today is the day for you to raise your hand. Say, enough. Man, I'm all in. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the tenacity and for the, yes, thank you. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. God, you see our hands up? We ask, we thank you that you said, if we sin, we can go to you and you will cleanse us. And so, Father, we thank you for today is the first day of the rest of our life. Whatever the issues are with the hands up, whatever they are, Father, we pray that we will never take that back. We want to give you complete control. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm gonna get somebody up here in a minute, but Tamara, before I do that, do you want to share anything today? No. Okay. All right. So, how many enjoyed the service today? Praise the Lord. All right. Here, hey, could you be praying for us? We really need. We thank God we got our new gas meter in. Praise God. You want to see a styling gas meter? Go in the back of the church. And I tell you what, this is a new, it's $1 million. It looks like $1 million. But praise God. And you say, well, I don't care about a gas meter. I'll tell you what, when we're cold, you know what, on Wednesday nights in December, and all these puppies are heating you up, you're going to be so happy. You know what I mean? Amen. So, you know what, but pray for us. That we have just a couple things that we have these wrought iron fences, or they're doors. Oh my goodness, they are amazing. Wait till these doors come in. You're gonna see. You know what? Listen, Disney's gonna come by and they're gonna be jealous. They're gonna be jealous. You say, well, Pastor, why do you get that way? Here's why. Because you know what? Because I was under Pastor Bradford, and because Pastor Bradford said, you know what? If you're going to do something, do it right. He got so tired of these churches just giving God the leftovers. You know what? And I was trained underneath him. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not ripping on any churches. We have churches around us, and the pastors are doing everything they can. They're bivocational, and they're doing everything they can. But you know what? We do the best with what we have. And I tell you what, these doors, we were going to have these funky, You ever see these sliding? They're like scissor gates. We're going to have these cheesy scissor gates. You know what? And then somebody told me, Pastor, why don't you put some nice wrought iron doors on that? It's probably my wife said that. I don't know. But wait, when these come in, you're just going to go, oh, my goodness. And you need to be proud of your church. Because everybody coming by, you know what, we're saying, listen, Christ is excellent, you know what, and we're going to do everything we can to serve him with excellence. We thank God for it.